Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and once again, I'm delighted to be with you today on this, our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. A day when we pray for all of those things in our hearts, those things that take up our thoughts, those things that cause us to worry, those things that cause us pain, those things we even can lose sleep over, huh? Those things we really want healed. So the purpose of our Healing Day of Prayer is to be a support for each other, for our needs in prayer. And we take your intentions right to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is waiting to hear them. Now, I'm also going to share with you something very special today, something that is the central focus of our Catholic faith, the Holy Eucharist. Now, there's something going on in our country today that is so beautiful, and you may have heard of it lately. In our churches, on television, like on EWTN, something exciting is happening in our Catholic faith where the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, is concerned. Now, next to me, I have a picture of a monstrance, and I'm going to show it to you. Those of you who are on Facebook will be able to see it. Those of you on the radio, if you go to your cell phone or your laptop and you just type in the word monstrance, M-O-N-S-T-R-A-N-C-E, monstrance, means to show, and you'll see them come up, and you'll see, and you probably will recognize it. But I have one right here, and for those of you on Facebook, I'm going to show it to you. Here it is. That is the monstrance. That is so beautiful. And in the middle of it, the monstrance is like a precious kind of metal around it, and has rays going forth, and in the metal you will see a circle. In there is a consecrated Eucharistic host, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure you can see that. I just think that is so beautiful to watch that and see what is going on. This is taking such incredible significance today in our country. So on our program, I'm going to share more of you a little bit later. I'm going to share more on this. And as you know, when we begin the show, we always begin with prayer. And then we go into your prayer intentions. The prayer always comes first, huh? And we're going to ask all of our listeners, all of you out there, you're so beautiful. You're so supportive. We see a lot of results when we all pray together. We're going to ask you to join us in prayer support for our brothers and sisters who need the prayer. And remember, as I always say, you're part of the communion of saints. The saints in heaven are praying. Our holy souls in purgatory are praying. And you and I, church militant, we are praying for these intentions because we're a team. And it's this team that is going to put us together and help us on that journey to the kingdom. So, I'm going to pray today through the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ. So, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I remember when I was a little girl, at the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary Church in Philadelphia. It's a beautiful school. And on special feast days, like the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Body of Christ, or on other special feasts, the school children would go to Mass, and then either that day or the following Sunday, we would have what's called a Eucharistic procession. The priest or the pastor would carry the monstrance, here we go, would carry the monstrance with the consecrated host in the middle. There it is again. We'd carry that. And over the monstrance would be a canopy. And the canopy would have four poles, covering the monstrance. And there'd be altar boys holding those poles, holding them. There'd be other priests there. There would be the sisters who taught the school children. And we would all follow in procession. We'd be walking through the streets in our neighborhood. We'd walk through the big streets, the little streets, the bumpy streets, and oh, we'd be singing. We'd be proudly rejoicing and proclaiming that we believed that we were following the true presence of Jesus Christ in the consecrated host. That host was you, Jesus. It wasn't a symbol of you. It was truly your body and blood in that host. What a blessing. It excited us. It renewed us to see the adults in the neighborhood. They would open their doors. They would come out. They'd make the sign of the cross. They would genuflect before the host. It was so wonderful. Well, as we grew older and time went on, Lord, we didn't see many of those processions. Walking through our neighborhoods, church attendance dwindled. Many other things took priority over our need to attend Mass and watch the priest turn the bread and wine into your body and blood, Lord. In fact, some people refused to believe that the Eucharistic Lord was your body and blood. To many, it was only a symbol. But there was that faithful group who held to the truth and knew that you would not abandon us, Lord. And in your time, and in your way, there would be a resurrection, because truth cannot be denied. And that time is now. Thank you, Lord, for what you ordain and are showing us. This has been 3 years in preparation for what is going on right now in our country. There are 4 groups of young people, Lord. Adults, young children, college students from 4 different parts of our nation. As I said, the North, the South, the East, and West. And they are embarking on a Eucharistic procession throughout America. A procession going through the streets, through the parks, over bridges, into hospitals, into prisons. Oh my. They are going through many different cities with their priest and bishop and cardinals, holding the monstrance way up high. Here we go again. Holding it way up high for all to see. The world could see the consecrated Eucharistic host. And you know what? People who are seeing this are joining the lines. And just in St. Paul, Minnesota, I recently heard, just in that one city, 7,000 people joined in one city alone. They just became part of it. 7,000 people. And they're praying, they're crying, they are kneeling before the host, and there are conversions happening. They're coming back to the church. And these 4 groups will meet in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the end of July for the National Eucharistic Congress. It has been over 80 years since the last Eucharistic Congress, actually 83 years, and it is here now. And it is so needed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I feel like a little child again. I feel that kind of a little girl in the 3rd grade, walking through my neighborhood, through the big streets, and the little streets, and the bumpy streets, singing my heart out, Lord. You haven't gone anywhere. You just showed us how much you are missed. Amen. And amen. My dear friends, what an exciting time. This is going on as I speak. It's going on out there in our country. So important. I have a couple of telephone numbers to give you. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. I understand that's a long distance number if you're calling from another country. So I'll give them again, 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Now, I have some prayer intentions here. As I said, they go first. And today we're going to pray through the healing Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was on the last time, I'm on the third Friday of the month. And when I was on the last time, someone through Facebook sent me a message. And it was a girl I went to high school with. It was a classmate of mine. And I didn't know where to get back to her. I didn't know how to get back to her. So if you're listening now, call this number. Call the number right here in the studio, 610-527-2906. Speak with Maureen and give Maureen your phone number or your email address or your text. Give Maureen that. She'll give it to me and I will contact you. I'm sorry about that, but, you know, I don't want you to think I didn't want to get back to you. Any classmate of mine is a wonderful person. been a long time, but I can still remember those days and I know you can too. So, anyway, we have these prayer intentions and, we have some prayer intentions. Some, I'm going to read one right off here, which is kind of pretty neat. We have an update here. We prayed for Brian. Brian was the great nephew of Mary DeAngelis. And Brian is from Columbia, South Carolina. If you recall, Brian had been removed from the kidney transplant list. He needed a kidney transplant. He was removed. Well, his uncle Kirk was going to donate a kidney to Brian. But in the testing process, he found that he was not compatible with Brian. So, God bless him, Kirk donated it to a stranger. And because of this, his nephew Brian was moved up on the transplant list. And Brian will receive a kidney from someone else. Now, let's see. The fellow that Uncle Kirk gave the kidney to, he's going to have his surgery on July 31st. And Brian is getting a kidney again. These are all strangers. They're getting kidneys from strangers. And he will receive his on July 24th. You know, when you think of the incredible generosity of both of these donors, just giving to people they don't know. This is amazing. We thank you, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the incredible faith of these two men. Two people will be receiving new kidneys. That is so, so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And at the time we were praying for Brian, we were also praying for a Philip. Philip was also removed from the transplant list. I don't know why, but he was. So we're going to pray for Philip. We're going to pray that some kind of miracle happens for him the way it just happened for Brian. We're praying for you, Philip, friend of my brother's. We're not going to give up on you, Philip. Not at all. So because I just mentioned Mary DeAngelis, I'm going to go right to Mary right here. It's important that we do this because Mary DeAngelis, you've heard her name before on this program. She is so generous in sending us prayer petitions, prayer intentions. She has sent them for so many people. Well, today, we're going to pray for Mary. Mary had a terrible fall. She had emergency surgery for a fractured femur. And she wants to pray in thanksgiving for her successful surgery on May 25th. Mary received a new hip. This was unbelievable because Mary had fallen and she was on the floor for a half hour, couldn't move. They had to get an ambulance for her to get her to the hospital. She had surgery the next day and the doctor called it a new shiny hip. They are his words. He gave Mary a new shiny hip, which means this isn't going to stop her. She's going to keep going. He's going to keep giving us prayer intentions. I know it. God bless her. She's a doll. Anyway, Mary, I'm sure you know you received this hip May 25th. It's the birthday of Padre Pio. So you are in good hands. You have good friends in high places, huh? And Mary's healing is going very well. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, we have a prayer intention for Cheryl. In fact, we even had a recent update. Just had a recent one for Cheryl. Let me get this for you here. Okay, let's see. I have it right here. Let's see. Cheryl, if you recall, Cheryl had pancreatic cancer. And they were doing a new medical procedure on her, and she was doing well. It was almost like a miracle. She was doing well. We were happy for her. And then she suddenly started not feeling well, and the testing showed that she had a tumor. They were concerned that it was cancer. She went back into surgery, and they found the tumor was benign, and what happened was she was bleeding from the radiation. So we were actually pleased that that was happening. Well, we just got word again that Cheryl is not doing well. She's back in the hospital. The news wasn't so encouraging, okay? She was being tube-fed with esophagus issues, and she was only taking a few steps. Well, what has happened is there was apparently an error happened at the hospital. A hole was accidentally put in her esophagus, and she reached the point for 2 months Cheryl couldn't speak. They had a tube feed her, and she couldn't walk. So, God bless you, Cheryl. Now, I understand there has been a little bit of sign of good news here, and that's what just came in. Cheryl, let's see, as of yesterday, she has turned a corner, and we pray for signs of improvement, but she does have an uphill climb. Cheryl, God bless you. We are not giving up on you. You have been through such suffering, emotional suffering, physical suffering. We have your back. We're going to keep praying for you, Cheryl. You've been through a lot. I can't even imagine how many souls have gotten into the kingdom through your suffering, Cheryl. We love you, Cheryl, and we're here for you. We're going to continue praying, and we're glad you made some of these changes. Maybe you're speaking a little better and taking more steps. So we thank you. We thank you, Cheryl. You're a beautiful person. We have here Chrissy. Chrissy is the niece of Sister Lawrence. Sister Lawrence, a wonderful, wonderful sister. She's from Stella Maris, and everyone knows and loves Sister Lawrence in the neighborhood. She was the principal there for many, many years. She was like the diocesan teacher of the year and marvelous. Well, this is her niece, Chrissy. Chrissy broke her foot. Has to be so painful, Chrissy. We're going to ask our Lord and Savior Jesus. He knows your pain. He knows pain from the large nails that were brutally hammered into his feet. He knows what you're going through, Chrissy. And we're going to pray for complete and total healing for you. And what's so amazing here is, on my last program, I prayed for my niece, Michelle. So here's Sister Lawrence praying for her niece. I prayed for my niece, Michelle, because Michelle just had extensive surgery on her right foot. And when it heals, 4 months later, she's going to have that same surgery on her left foot. And the thing that makes it hard is she's allergic to pain medications. So she's constantly have to be on ice and Tylenol, and she's going to be out of commission for a while. But she's being faithful to all the things she's supposed to do. And the one creature who is kind of happy that Michelle can't go to work and has to be home is her dog. He has her all to himself. And he's thrilled about that. But Chrissy, you be sure to do what the doctors are telling you to do, and your problems will be healed. They will be healed. Thank you. Thank you for this prayer petition. Let's see what we have here. Anyway, let's see. We have Frank. We prayed for Louise's brother-in-law, Frank. Frank was on a ventilator from pneumonia. He was bleeding from a stomach ulcer. He had many, many falls, and he was discharged to home hospice, and he just passed away a couple weeks ago. So we express our condolences to Louise and her family, especially her niece Patty, as she mourns the death of her father. And as we pray, eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And this is what is so beautiful, my friends, about the communion of saints. The saints in heaven, souls in purgatory, and us. We're all praying for Frank, that the Lord receive him into his kingdom. We have here Kenzie. Kenzie's 10 years old. She's a Down syndrome child. She had surgery, 3 different areas, tears in her eyes, she had teardrops. She had tonsil surgery, placement of cups over her knees. She will require more surgical procedures down the road. She's only 10 years old, Down syndrome child. Kenzie, you sweetheart, I'm going to place you in the arms of the Divino Niño, the Divine Infant, for peace in your little heart as you go through this. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that you're surrounded with people who are going to bring you joy. They're going to bring you joy. And if you have any fear in you, pray to the Divino Niño to dispel those fears, that you can enjoy your family and friends and the medical team. The medical team is going to minister to you, that they're close to you and you could feel their love. That's what we're going to pray for you, and that you can come through all of these procedures in good time. So there are prayer petitions today, and just want to say, isn't it exciting when I began this program, I shared with you about the National Eucharistic Congress with the four groups put together for 3 years, young people, adults, coming through our nation, with priests and bishops, and they're holding that monstrance. Here we go again. There we are. They're elevating it, drawing many people to them. There are conversions as they witness to the true presence of Jesus in the host, in the Holy Eucharist, affirming the perpetual truth for all ages. Why does the Catholic Church say the consecrated host is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, and definitely not a symbol? Well, let's go back to the source. Let's go back to the voice of Jesus Christ himself, who tells us so. When Jesus started his public ministry, he picked his apostles. He taught them the truths of the faith. He performed miracles. He told them to go forth to the ends of the earth, baptize people of all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, the apostles were weak men. Jesus knew they would not be able to do this on their own strength, and he promised them the power would come upon them at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit did come upon them. They became changed men. They were ready to go forth. And Our Lady was with them in that room. She became their spiritual mother. If they were on the road somewhere and they would come by, they would want to see her. She was a spiritual support for them. Now they went forth and they did spread the word of the kingdom of God throughout the world. Now let us look at a few weeks before Pentecost. Let us look at Holy Thursday night. Jesus was in the upper room with his apostles. The upper room is the room of the Last Supper. I had the privilege when I was with the tour group to be in that upper room. And it was such a blessing to know that Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist in that very room. Now, let's go back to Holy Thursday. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and the apostles would not have Jesus by their side much longer. Jesus knew that he had to sustain them spiritually when he was no longer with them. So I now read for you the words of Jesus in Scripture, this moment of truth. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread into his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more, giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. My friends, it is Jesus speaking. It is Jesus saying that the bread in his hands would become his body, and the wine in the chalice would become his blood. When he prays over the bread and wine, the words of consecration, what happens? The bread becomes his body. He doesn't say, this is a symbol of my body. Mm-mm. The wine in the chalice becomes his blood. He doesn't say, oh, this is a symbol of my blood. No. It will be poured out for you, the apostles, And for many, who are the many? Us, you and me. We are the many who will come after the apostles. It will be there for us to partake of this. What a glorious, glorious miracle. And when Jesus leaves the upper room after he institutes the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, where he will be arrested and put to death. Jesus knew he had to give them and us something of himself, to be with us spiritually for all time. He left us his real presence in the sacred host. At every Mass, in every Catholic Church all over the world, when the priest speaks the words of consecration that Jesus spoke, the same words, the bread and wine become the body and blood, the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. What a gift that he has given us. What a gift he left us. You know, there have been some great witnesses of the power of the true presence of Jesus. And some of those witnesses are our beloved saints who walked this earth and experienced tremendous trials, physically and spiritually. Many of them died a martyr's death, but they always proclaimed the source of their strength, their growth in the Lord, their deeds of heroic virtue could only have happened through the reception of the Holy Eucharist, the reception of the consecrated host of the body and blood, the true presence of Jesus Christ. Let us look at some of the giants of our faith. I'm going to share a few of them. I'm going to share their words. Let's look at Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. Oh, how we love little Therese, don't we? We love Saint Therese. She was young. She was a doctor of the church. And at a young age, she said she had a deep and fervent love Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. She died at the age of 24, very young. But she knew, and she said in these words, she said, "In this furnace of love, the Holy Eucharist, I shall be consumed. I shall be consumed in this furnace of love." She knew the importance of frequent reception of the Eucharist, how we needed it to keep us strong and help us advance in our spiritual life. Now she said this, and I quote her, and I love this. She said, "Best of all, I loved when the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, was carried in procession. For it gave me such joy to scatter flowers beneath the feet of God. I used to throw the flowers as high as I could, and nothing delighted me more than to see my rose petals touch the monstrance." Isn't that amazing, my dear friends? Amazing, because that's exactly what we are speaking about here. A Eucharistic procession. Rose petals touching the monstrance excited Therese, because she knew that by touching the monstrance, she was touching that which was holding the consecrated host within that monstrance. That is so, so beautiful. Now, we're going to have a couple more. We're going to break in a very short while. We're going to break, and I have a couple more to quote. A couple of our dear, dear saints, and tell you what they thought of the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. We'll be back. Don't go away. Come back. It gets
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, I said to you that I would have another one for you, another one of our beautiful saints speaking about the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. In fact, I can see as this is developing that this isn't going to be the only show we do on the Eucharist. I have so much material, and in my heart, I really want to share that with you. I can see we're going to have a couple of shows out of this. It's wonderful. I'm going to be part of that Eucharistic procession. Anyway, let's look at another great saint. Her Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, what a life she gave completely of herself to the poor, the very poor, to the sick, the dying, those who had diseases, terrible diseases. And this is what she said about the Eucharist. This is very interesting. She said, "The Eucharist is connected with the Passion. If Jesus had not established the Eucharist, we would have forgotten the crucifixion." What a revelation. She said the crucifixion would have faded into the past, and we would have forgotten that Jesus loved us. There is a saying that to be far away from the eyes is to be far away from the heart. To make sure that we do not forget, Jesus gave us the Eucharist as a memorial of his love. So, Mother Teresa says, when you look at the crucifix, you understand how much Jesus loved you then. When you look at the Sacred Host, you understand how much Jesus loves you now. That is so powerful. What a revelation Mother Teresa gave us. What a beautiful revelation. You know, my friends, you've heard me say over and over again that the greatest gift Jesus could have given us is his true presence in the Eucharistic host. Now, when we receive Holy Communion, what does he ask from us in return? Our beloved saints gave their all to him, at times their very lives. When we go up to receive the Holy Eucharist, what is the greatest gift we could return to Jesus? When I reflected on that, I wrote and recorded a song called The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. And I'd like to sing it for you. And as Patrick here, our beautiful engineer, as he plays it for you, listen to the words as we realize that Jesus wants all of us. He wants our heart, our lives, our all. The greatest gift.
The greatest gift that you me, your true presence in the bread, the greatest gift that you could give me, your true presence in the wine, the greatest love that you could offer was to die for love.
What can I offer as I receive your precious body and blood in me? The greatest gift that I could give you is my heart, my life, my all. The bread of life that dwells within me is my saving, healing Lord. I lift my eyes and thank you, Father, for sending us your Son. Renew us in the Holy Spirit, that one day we may be one. The bread of life, your gift, your Son. The greatest gift. You know, we've been talking about this a lot, about the Eucharist, consecrated host right there in the monstrance. And for a moment now, let me be the devil's advocate. No, not you, Grace. No, I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a moment, just for a moment. And I'm going to look at what could be a negative belief. Could this only be a symbol? Does the host only be a symbol of Jesus and not the true presence? Many people believe it's a symbol, okay? Well, there are about 136 Eucharistic miracles. There are more, but the church has approved of 136 of them. They've occurred over centuries. Now, to explain what I mean by a Eucharistic miracle, I'm going to read for you an historical account. It's describing one of the most renowned of the miracles that occurred in the 8th century. There was a monk in Lanciano, Italy. He did not believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He would say his masses, but he did not believe that at the consecration of the Mass, when the monk prayed the same words that Jesus spoke at the Last Supper, changing the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, he believed it wasn't true. He believed it was only a symbol. Well, one day, he got the surprise of his life. After he prayed the words of consecration, "This is my body, this is my blood," he noticed in the chalice there was blood coagulating and 5 pieces of blood globules. There were also pieces of flesh. This went through many ecclesiastical investigations, even up to the year 1970. A Dr. Lindoli, he was a professor and doctor of anatomy, pathology, a doctor of histology. He had so many ologies in his background, I want to tell you. And he had chemistry, and he was assisted by another doctor. And they researched all of this, and they determined the flesh was of a human species. And the blood was from the myocardium of the heart. It's from the heart muscle. Interesting when we think of the Sacred Heart, isn't it? The blood type was type AB, the same blood type that is found on the Shroud of Turin. And it's also the same blood type found on numerous of the Eucharistic miracles. Of course, the Shroud of Turin was the supposed burial cloth of Jesus Christ. Now, in 2004, Pope St. John Paul II visited the Church of St. Francis in Lanciano, Italy. He did when he was a cardinal. He went to view this miracle. And if you, my friends, if you go there today, it's on display. 12 centuries later, it's in a reliquary, those things that hold relics, blood and flesh. And you would be able to see it. You went there, you would be able to see it. It hasn't dried up. It hasn't evaporated. It is exactly as it was 12 centuries earlier. The Lord certainly revealed to that monk, didn't he? That was his true presence. It was as it was when it was first discovered, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The body and blood. Now, next year, it's coming, 2025. It's going to be a jubilee year. It happens every 25 years. We have a jubilee year marked by the opening of the Holy Door at St. Peter's Basilica. And Pope Francis called the theme Pilgrims of Hope, which we really need. And one of the exciting things that Pope Francis spoke of was that we will probably see during this jubilee year the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis. He's a young boy who died at the age of 15 in 2006. That wasn't too long ago. 15. And in 2020, he was beatified. He was declared blessed. Young people all over the world know of Carlo. They identify with him. And they are so excited about this pronouncement of his canonization. Now, to fill you in about him, I'm going to read some stuff about him. He's amazing. He was a normal young man. He was born in London when his father was working there. He was born of Italian parents. And then they spent the rest of his life in Milan, Italy. He was popular. He was a handsome young man. He had many friends. He played football. In fact, I have a beautiful photo of him kicking a soccer ball. He loved the computer sciences. He wore jeans and sneakers. He played videos and games like Nintendo and Xbox. He loved Super Mario. And he loved nature. And he loved animals. Does he sound like quite a young man, huh? Now, When he was on these computer things, he also gave limits to himself. Wasn't on all day and all night. He limited himself. He knew how to do that. But he also defended classmates with disabilities. There were bullies there. And he would protect his classmates with disabilities against the bullies. Now, he developed websites. He developed websites. And they are calling him the patron saint of the internet. Can you imagine this young man? The patron saint of the internet. He loved the Holy Eucharist. He was deeply spiritual. And he was called the child of the Eucharist. He recited the rosary daily. He went to weekly confession. He spent time in adoration before the monstrance, just sitting there, letting the Lord minister to him, praying to him. His parents didn't even go to church. Can you imagine? They didn't go to church, but he wanted to go to Mass every morning. And before long, he had all of his family going to Mass and the Eucharist. His mother, Antonia, what a beautiful woman. She said Carlos' love for the Eucharist inspired a deep conversion for her. He had a loving heart for the poor and the homeless, and he would bring food out to people living on the streets and would passionately defend the rights of the unborn. He was totally pro-life. Now, I just spoke to you about the 136 Eucharistic miracles that occurred around the world over the centuries. Carlo thought, you know, if people are speaking of the real presence of Jesus in the churches, in magazines, in homilies, on the radio, on retreats, if they're speaking about it, how much more could that truth go forth to the world if he created a worldwide exhibit on a website affirming the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist? That was a brilliant idea. Create a worldwide website telling the whole world about the true presence. Now, Carlo started that project. Guess what age that he started this project? 11. He was 11 when he started the project. Documented the Eucharistic miracles and the approved Marian apparitions, appearances of our Blessed Mother around the world. He loved our Blessed Lady. He loved her. Now, his parents took him to all the places of the Eucharistic miracles. The Eucharistic miracles were in China, Japan, India, Africa, the United States, Europe, all over. His exhibits have been displayed on 5 continents. Carlo was convinced that he would bring people back to Mass and receive the true presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He said, "The Eucharist is my highway to heaven." That's what he said. He said, the more we receive the Eucharist, the more we will become like Jesus, so that on this earth we will have a foretaste of heaven. He died of acute myeloid leukemia, and he only lived 1 week after his leukemia was diagnosed. Only 1 week. And when he was dying, he offered this prayer, and I offer this to you to hear this prayer. He said, "I offer all of my suffering to the Lord for Pope Benedict XVI, who was Pope at that time, and for the Church, in order not to go to purgatory, but to go straight to heaven." Now, 2 miracles through Carlos's intercession have been approved by the Vatican, which opens his path to sainthood. Hopefully, we're going to see this during this coming Jubilee year. What a wonderful gift to all the children of this world. They love him. Those who know of him just love him. This is a wonderful time for this canonization to take place. What a man. What a guy. I mean, I want you to hear what he wrote at the age of 7. 7. He said, to be always united with Jesus. This is my life program. His life's program was to always be united with Jesus. He wrote that at 7. He's in the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi in Assisi, Italy. That is where his body is. That is where people are going to see him. And they are packed. They are packed. And he's lying there in jeans and sneakers. Is that beautiful? I get the chills when I just hear that. Well, the Pope declared his feast day is October 12th. October 12th. And I love this. This is what Carlo said. Listen to this. He said, when we face the sun, we get a tan. But when we stand before Jesus in the Eucharist, we become saints. He said that before he ever knew he would become a saint. When we face the sun, we get a tan. But when we stand before Jesus in the Eucharist, we become saints. That is so beautiful. Look up the name, Carlo Acutis. Carlo Acutis. They'll have pictures, and as you search him on your search engine, what a wonderful person. I'm looking forward to that. And there's another young one that is we're looking forward to becoming canonized in this year. As I said, if we do this second program, I will speak about him on that program. And you know, my friends, when I was preparing this program on the Holy Eucharist for today, it brought back a memory from a number of years ago. I was attending a weekend charismatic renewal. In fact, as I say that term, charismatic renewal, right now Kathleen McCarthy is giving a retreat weekend in Malvern, that beautiful retreat house in Malvern. She's giving that starting tonight in Malvern. And she is so powerful. What a gift. Kathleen McCarthy is the head of this ministry in His Sign, Catholic Radio. And she is so blessed with so many, many gifts. Gifts of healing, gifts of preaching, gifts of so many. Prophecy gifts. It's just marvelous. Well, anyway, I was attending a charismatic renewal weekend. And this was at the Wildwood Convention Center. It was a wonderful weekend. In the closing night, many people were there, and we were participating in the closing Mass. When the Mass was over, all the lights in the convention center dimmed, and the priest started processing very slowly around the room. It was a large room. And he was wearing his liturgical vestments. He was carrying the monstrance. I'm going to hold it one more time. He was carrying the monstrance, carrying the consecrated host in the center, and the only light was the light focused on the Eucharist. It was so powerful. And as the priest slowly walked up and down the aisles, people were reaching out to touch it. They were reaching out with an arm. They were reaching out with both arms like this, both arms, as if touching the Eucharist. Some had tears coming down their faces. Some were kneeling. Some were moving their lips in prayer. Some were looking up at the host in awe. I was very still. I was almost immobile. I couldn't move as that passed me. I was worshiping the one thing that we were all aware of there. The one thing we were aware of as we worshiped was that Jesus Christ was in that room. And to this day, I remember that moment. Jesus Christ, fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That is the living Christ. That is not a symbol. That is the living, living Christ. Now, we do have some more prayer intentions. Let's see. We have them right here. A few more to share with you. I have one here it's kind of sad. I got the intention today. My niece, Michelle, that I just spoke of, she shared with me a very sad story that she... A girl that she works with was expecting her first child. She was 8 months pregnant and sensed something was wrong. when they tested everything, there was no blood count. So they right away had to take her in to try to remove the baby from her. Well, when they opened her up, the baby was deceased. Gosh, I mean, 8 months she carried this child, and Michelle was saying they had party for her at work, you know. And I just pray for that girl. Avery, I believe her name is Avery Elizabeth. This is very painful. God bless you, Avery. Your first child, she was so happy, rejoicing. And Lord God Almighty, we ask you send the power of your Holy Spirit upon her. Give her that peace that passes understanding. That peace that we don't understand, but you, Lord, hold her. Mary, Mother of God, hold her. You who delivered your son. You who suffered, watching him at the foot of the cross, watching your son being taken and abused like that, dying. Hold her. Hold Avery in your arms, Mary. Let her feel such strength from you that she can come through this. She will be a light to so many others. Many other women and husbands who are suffering can see. But Avery will be a light for those people. Be with her. Give her peace. This just happened. So that's why we're so kind of emotional about this. Michelle, I know how painful this is for you. You knew her. You prayed her. You teased her when she was pregnant, laughed and rejoiced with her. So we pray for that. Pray also for Ray. Ray went to the Methodist hospital. He had passed kidney stones. Ray's in a wheelchair, and it was recommended that he go to rehab for some therapy. I remember Ray from the early days of the Charismatic Renewal. Ray worked side by side with Dom Lettieri. He was reproducing cassettes for the speakers who would come. Ray is also a faithful listener to In His Sign Catholic Radio. He always has it on. And Ray, I think it's good advice that you go to rehab after passing these kidney stones. It will be helpful for you. You will be with professional people around you who know how to take care of you. And it'll probably be fun for you. You'll have some people you can talk to around there. Ray's a great guy. Man who truly loved the Lord. The Lord's been by his side, and he'll carry you through this. He'll carry you through this. We have here Joe. Joe's asking for prayers for his family, especially his grandson, Brian. Brian's 11 years old. Brian has cancer. And Joe, we're certainly going to pray for your family. It seems any time a child is involved, the suffering seems so much greater. It breaks our hearts to see our beloved child go through this. And we pray for peace and strength for this family. And we pray for a healing for Brian. Today, so many things are out there medically, and they're there to treat cancer, and we pray for this child to be restored to his joyful, playful self. And again, we pray through the Divino Niño, the infant Christ. We pray that Joe be healed. We continue to pray that Landon be healed. We continue to pray for that. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for Lily, that young teenage girl. They still don't know what cancer she has. She has to be in the hospital every 3 months for testing. She just got accepted to college. And the beautiful thing is, though they don't have the money to pay for that college is going to give Lily a 4-year scholarship. Wow. We have prayed for Lily. We will continue to pray for Lily. Thank you, my dear friends. Just always remember, when you receive that host, that is the living Christ. Give your heart, mind, soul, and body to him. I love you. Come back third Friday. I love you. Come back. God bless you.